Well, thanks so much for staying with Cresta in the Afternoon today. I'm Matthew Bunsen filling in for Al, who is tied up this week with the Ave Maria Radio Pledge Drive. Remember, please continue to support your local EWTN Catholic radio station wherever you may be. Well, I was just talking with Shannon Mullen, the editor-in-chief of the National Catholic Register, about the new document, Dignitas Infinita, and it is certainly a document that touches on many of the issues that are being raised today in what is sort of broadly being called the culture war. And my next guest has written in The Catholic Thing, How to Build a Healthy Culture, and he writes, quoting George Weigel, he says, as George Weigel once put it, you may not be interested in the culture war, but the culture war is interested in you and everyone else. The current of our culture, he writes, is not headed in a healthy or humane or sane direction, and if one is not conscious of the running tide or is unwilling to swim against it, one is liable to end up adrift at sea. I'm talking about Stephen White, who's executive director of the Catholic Project at the Catholic University of America and a fellow in Catholic Studies at the Ethics and Public Policy Center. Stephen, welcome.
It's good to be on with you, Matthew.
So your piece was perfectly timed. I think this came out last month, right?
Yeah, it came out, that's right, in March.
Right. Now, granted, we have been discussing much of the culture war and what we as Catholics, as Christians, can do about it, but I was thinking about your piece when I was reading Dignitas Infinita because of its enumeration of so many of the things that we would think of today as sort of branded part of the culture war. Before we talk about how to build a healthy culture, what's your take on this new document?
I thought the document was, well, the first thing to say about it is anybody who is hoping or fearing a revolution is going to be disappointed. I think it was a fairly multi traditional doctrine document. No one should have been very surprised by what was in it. The document takes a sort of fairly traditional Orthodox stance on the grounding of human dignity, and then from there moves from the grounding of human dignity into some of the implications for how we ought to act or not act. Given our human dignity, so I think on some of the hot button issues, which got most of the news, it was not terribly surprising. Maybe some people found it reassuring because there wasn't a revolution that some people had been fearing.
Right, especially in light of fiducia supplicans.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that sort of ramped up some of the anticipation for this was that. Rome had been sort of signaling that this was going to be that this document was going to appease some of the people who had been more upset by fiducia supplicans, and that's probably true. It's not. I wasn't terribly pleased that that was how it was being framed. I mean, the suggestion that the church's doctrinal dicastery makes its rulings or publishes its documents in order to sort of keep the balance of who's enthusiastic or who's upset is not the most edifying
yes, exactly.
about their role. It's a bit cynical. But there is a certain sense in which people who are mostly upset about fiducia supplicans are generally less upset or soothed by this.
And what are we to make of the fact that there were those who were the most eager to extend or to embrace fiducia in the most progressive way possible, seem fairly disappointed with this document.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look at a lot of the Catholic outlets that tend to be more progressive or report more favorably on LGBTQ issues and things like that, New Ways Ministry, for example, was very harsh in its criticism of the new document. I'm not sure how one could be terribly surprised by this. I mean, most of the strongest statements against gender ideology and sex change operations and the various attendant issues, most of the strongest statements in this document from the CDF come directly as quotations from Pope Francis himself.
So yes.
Not only is this not new coming from Rome, it's not new coming from this pontificate. A lot of those statements were sort of categorized or cataloged and systematized, so put in a more orderly an orderly fashion and all in one place in this document, but none of it was was terribly new. So again, why people would be surprised by that, I'm not sure, but it didn't please some people.
Mm-hmm. Now the document goes into not exhaustive, but considerable detail about what it refers to as some grave violations of human dignity, and that, of course, is a fairly lengthy list of, as I say, almost crimes and enormities of abortion, poverty, human trafficking, war, sex change, surrogacy, gender theory. All of these, for the most part, find their way into the wider discussions about the culture wars and culture. And the thing that I found especially interesting about your piece is that you're very straightforward when you say that culture is one of those things that tends to get fuzzier the more closely one examines it. So let's start from the basics. What do we mean, and what do you mean by culture?
Well, like most people, what I mean by culture sort of depends on the context of what I'm talking about. If I were to define culture, if you pin me down and have me do it, I would start with sort of the things that most of us agree. Like a culture is the sort of the trappings attendant to the way a certain people lives, our food and our art and our language and our religion. And there's a certain sense in which politics is part of our culture, right? It's hard to think of American culture without thinking of American democracy and all the good and bad that comes with it. That certainly forms our culture. And yet we often talk about culture as distinct from politics, such as when we say, you know, culture is one thing, politics is another, or politics is downstream from culture. So if you try and define the peripheries, it gets tricky. But I think we also, most people know what I mean when I say culture. I mean, it's not this terribly mysterious word. It's just that to pin down in a very precise way what we mean by it is either very difficult to do, or we can do it, but then we're using a very specific and limited definition that might not cover all the things that people usually refer to when they talk about culture.
Mm-hmm. And you do note a distinctively Catholic culture that can be found throughout history. Let's look at that for a second.
Yeah, so I point out that there have been obviously distinctively Catholic cultures that have existed, although not ever really in the United States, I say. But, you know, most of Europe was dominated by Catholic culture or Catholic cultures for most of the last 1,500 years. And that wasn't simply because you had Catholics who were kings or Catholic emperors. And there were places, I use the example of Poland, where a Catholic culture persisted in that land among the Polish people, even for more than a century when there was no Poland on the map of Europe, because Poland had been partitioned. So the culture isn't even exactly coterminal with a polity or a state, right? So it has this sort of vague quality that we all know what it is, but it shifts and comes and goes throughout history. When we talk about Catholic cultures, there's something at the heart of a Catholic culture that is not just, and then on Sunday people do this, right? It's that the idea that the truths of the faith, that sort of the cosmic vision of what it means to be a creature who is fallen and redeemed by God, that infuses and touches sort of every aspect, from the language to the politics to the art and so on. I'm not quite prepared to make the argument that Catholic culture is why pierogi tastes so good when you go to Poland, but we can talk about that on a different show. So this idea that a distinctively Catholic culture is infused or suffused with a view of reality that is distinctively Catholic, not just these or those practices, but a view of reality and our place in it. And I think that's where this really starts to, we can take this in a couple directions, right? In the column, I ask, you know, we talk about culture, we talk about all these things, and we've never really had a Catholic culture here in the United States. We've had Catholic subcultures, some of them very successful. But when we talk about culture and the culture wars, whether we're in favor of them or against them, or we want to ignore them, or we're tired of them, or however, we all know that that's a thing. But when we talk about building a culture of life, for example, or combating a culture of waste, as Pope Francis talks about, if we don't think too carefully about it, these can be sort of just become terms of jargon. They're slogans. But what do we mean? What would it look like to actually build a Catholic culture in the United States? What would that actually look like? What would it look like if you were to, quote unquote, win the culture war? And I think that's something that's an interesting question. It's sort of provocative, because mm-hmm. I think most people haven't really thought about what that would look like. The closest thing we had to a Catholic culture, or at least a culture that was at peace with Catholicism, was probably in the middle of the 20th century, when you had Hollywood making movies about Catholic priests in a very positive way, you know, The Bells of St. Mary's or Boy
Going My Way. Yeah.
Yeah, Going My Way. And we elected a Catholic president in 1960, and American Catholicism, which had been striving for generations to sort of be accepted into the mainstream of American culture, sort of finally made it. We had arrived. And that was perhaps the closest we had to a Catholic culture, or to a culture that was really amenable and friendly to Catholicism. But that's precisely at the moment at which, in losing our distinctiveness as Catholics in America, we started we became more and more like salt that's lost its flavor, right? So now, if I tell you that this American or that American is Catholic, that doesn't tell you very much at all about their politics or even about what they believe. So we made it, but we lost our distinctiveness. And so there's even less distinctively Catholic about our culture now.
Yeah,
so
if going back
to sort of the Going My Way days isn't the way forward, what would it look like to have a Catholic culture, to build a culture of life, to build a Catholic culture?
And more broadly, too, can we look at you use the phrase, a return to the status quo ante. Mm-hmm. This idea of some sort of a restoration of Christendom. And you make, even were that possible, you write, which it clearly is not. I'm not sure anyone wishes to return, as you write, to a time when American Catholic Church was at the height of its cultural influence, if that means losing its distinctiveness, like so much flavorless salt. But we do see this call, at least, for some sort of a restoration of Christendom, which I think both you and I are in agreement is not very likely to happen.
Yeah, I think that's, well, first of all, that's right. I think that's not very likely to happen. I think there's a real value in looking to history to find lessons that might be of help to us now. But the fact about Christendom is not just that it's in the past, it's that it grew out of a certain context in a certain era and a certain age. And while many of the principles that made it distinctively what it was still hold, the way a culture develops organically is not necessarily replicable, right? So you can't. There are lots of things that it's very, very difficult to create a culture on purpose, right? That it's not something you can just sort of do by intention. It's not something you can just sort of wheel into existence.
Very important for us to remember as we go forward in the culture wars. Well, Stephen, great to talk with you, and I look forward to reading your next article.
A real pleasure, Matthew. Thank you.
Well, you're listening to Cresta in the Afternoon. When we come back, Creative 303 is still in the news. This is Cresta in the Afternoon.